Our gospel reading this morning will lead us to a discussion. This is from chapter 5 of Matthew. You have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, "You shall not murder, and whoever murders shall be liable to judgment. But I say to you that if you are angry with a brother or sister, you will be liable to the judgment. And if you insult a brother or sister, you will be liable to the council. And if you say, 'You fool,' you will be liable to the hell of fire. So when you are offering your gift at the altar, if there before the altar you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift, come, and there at the altar, and go first be reconciled to your brother and sister, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are on the way to court with him, or your accuser may hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the guard, and you will be thrown into prison. And truly I tell you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny." The gospel of the Lord. Who would like to jump into the pool first?
I guess it's part of my personal belief that God is within all of us. And that being said, I think what he's trying to say here is make peace with God in all of us, and then come to church and we'll talk.
I'm glad that I'm not a biblical literalist, because reading this, and I read it last week, I thought, well, if I'm not here next week, it's because I've gone straight to hell.
Can I join you?
Yeah. You know, it's reading brother or sister literally. This is really hard. This is really hard. That's all I got to say.
Relatives.
Yes. Family. Yes. Barb.
I thought about, or it came to mind last week too, this might be a little long, but there's a reason. When I was teaching, and I taught special ed children, and I had to share a room with a teacher that was a beast. I mean, I wasn't the only one who thought that. She just was a beast. And I think she's the only person I came to literally hate, because it went on for a whole year. I would come into the classroom and she wouldn't say hello, you know, but I always did because I wanted to bug her a little bit. But there was a table like that, and she would take masking tape and give me like a foot of room to do my paperwork, et cetera, et cetera, and she would have the rest. And so anyhow, it went on, and she made other teachers cry, literally. Didn't make me cry, because I disliked her so much. But, you know, I would go home and say, you know, this is hurting me more than it is her, or it was hurting me, and what can I do? So, number one, I've never done really this to somebody I dislike so much, but I did pray for her because I didn't know what else to do. I wasn't being wonderful. And then I decided that I needed to get the negative energy out and walk. And so I would, after school, I'd come home and walk, you know, like that. And I did that for half a year, if not more. And at the end of the year, I had the opportunity to travel to Peru and go to Machu Picchu. And I had never been a hiker before, and I really wanted to do the Inca Trail, which I did. I would never have been able to do it without the preparation beforehand, because it was over 13,000 feet, and I did it, and it was wonderful, and I realized maybe that's what that was all about, that it prepared me to be able to do something that was so special to this day. So that's my story. And we were talking by the end of the year. So. so.
Great, that's great. Thank you, Barb.
The first thought that comes to mind when was this old expression that says when you holding a resentment is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. And so when I look at this, I just very simply think that for me to have a relationship with God, for me to have that open communication, I really need to not be holding resentments, not be holding someone else in condemnation or condescension. I really have to have a spirit of love and forgiveness towards all for me to have the right kind of relationship with God.
Anybody else? Sorry.
So there are two observations that I had. Just there were so many wonderful insights from everybody already. The first is that all these things which have separated this person in the story from God have the same nature to them. They're all judgments of that cause a negative reactions, you know, murder coming from judgment of hate. All these pieces in here that they're talking about, anger, separation, resentment, all that. So the whole collective as a whole is a posture of coming from my own sense of judging the world. And I think it's fundamental in the Christian tradition that God is the judge of the world and not us. So that separation right there creates an issue to be looked at. And then the other piece that I noticed when we were singing this piece this morning, and there's a section in here where it says, but if it's not given by love within, if what we do is not given by love within, then we're separated, right? And so examining all these postures in this passage, the one thing that's lacking is love within. And the difference between hypocrisy, which is the action of putting something in the plate, and love within and putting something in the plate, it looks the same. The action looks the same. But the love within is what turns everything around and makes it possible for the good that's hidden underneath to come forward, like happened with Barb. You know, we tend to judge quickly and not see over time that the gift in our path may be serving us in a way that we don't recognize.
What do you think, Carter? Anyone else? Yeah. This is coming from the best therapist in the world.
I wasn't going to speak. Well, everybody comes from understanding of something from their own experience. And so today I speak from my experience as a psychotherapist for 25 years. I think that this gospel is all about anger and not letting go. And in those 25 years that I did therapy, I saw hundreds of people that had miserable lives because they could not or would not let go of their anger. It influenced every cell in their body, every relationship, and their view of the whole world. And that's sad. I used to feel bad about that. And they say that they could never let it go. And the saddest part was that they were so angry at a certain person or a certain thing, and the person never even knew that they were angry because they guarded themselves, but it ate them up alive. And so we started therapy, and we did therapy, and I was lucky. I had a lot of success with these people, and when they let go, as we say, they let God. God has a hard time getting past the anger. A person has a hard time getting past the anger. And so in my circle, they say that Jesus Christ was the best therapist in the world. And I think this proves it.
Your second. Okay, that's very good. Thank you, dear. Anyone else? Well, just as kind of a little bit of background, this particular gospel, we tend to forget that many times Jesus was dealing with the situation in his own world. And he's talking to people who were dealing with, remember, the occupation by Rome and the overwhelming pressure given by the temple and all the requirements that Jewish people had in those days, even though they were downtrodden and very, very poor, living very, very meager lives, they still had to deal with the reality. And obviously, in those days, there was a lot of resentment for the government, for Rome, a lot of resentment to the temple because they were asking for things that were ridiculous and putting a burden, as Jesus points out in another part of the gospel. So here's Jesus saying, you know, stop and think about this. These things are going to happen, and we have no control over that part of the world, that part of our lives. The only thing we have control about or over is ourselves. And so he says to them, you know, if you're going to follow the rules that they give you, then expect nothing more than the payback that you're going to get, that they tell you. It's going to be the judge and the court and punishment somewhere. That's on that level. However, I think you all have touched upon the reality. Let me put it in a different way. Anger is a good emotion. There's nothing wrong with anger. In the world in which I grew up, anger was one of the capital sins. That meant that you were at anger, that you were creating yourself a mortal situation where perhaps you could lose your relationship with God altogether. And so it was never good to be angry. You weren't supposed to be angry about anything or about anyone. Now, you've given this message your whole life, especially as a youngster, and it's reinforced by the world in which you live. You have no other choice except to cut off a whole part of yourself in order to survive. And so most of us learned how to stuff it. We were never given permission to express it. Nobody ever suggested what we could do with it as an alternative. All you could do was stuff it. And to Louisa's point, I think, I don't know if I've shared this with you, back when I was probably, I think I had been ordained about 3 years, and I went into therapy. 3 years out of seminary, I went into therapy. And I got into this with the psychiatrist whom I hated, who was the most obnoxious person. The whole time I was talking to him, he was writing notes, cards, postcards, thank you letters, licking the envelopes, putting on the stamps. It's it. And I went on for 8 weeks talking to this jerk. Fortunately, I wasn't paying for it. But when I got all through with it, by the 8th week, I got there and I said to myself, this is nuts. And so I got angry with him. And I yelled at him. I said, I'm sitting here pouring my guts out and saying all kinds of stuff, and you sit there writing letters. What are you doing? He said, well, what are you angry about? I'm angry about being ignored. You're supposed to be helping me. You're not giving me any kind of direction. And he said, well, we've gotten to the point. You are so filled with anger about so many things that you can't even see that you're angry. It's your way of life. After I had the thought of decking him, I gave it a thought and said, you know, that's very true. And he had been listening all along. And every time I'd stop talking, he'd say, well, what about such and such, or what about so and so? And he'd pick up something and I'd go on some more. And he listened for 8 weeks of my ramblings about all the stuff I had stuffed down here over all those many years that had surfaced again because I was in a very difficult parochial situation. And I had a lot of anger about that and the people involved. But it all came out then. Anyway, long story short, there is nothing wrong with anger. And I'm not just going to qualify in saying justifiable anger. Anger is a very good part of our being. It tells us that there's something in our world that we find threatening or overwhelming or defeating or somehow challenging our very being. And there's nothing wrong with having that reaction. What we do with that anger is another story. And I would suggest that one of the things we might not do, because I know myself it doesn't work, is stuff it, ignore it, pretend it's not there. Because in doing that, what I found out, I was spilling out my anger all over the place to people who had no idea what I was talking about, why I was saying the things I was saying, or why I was acting a certain way. They didn't know me. One of the things as a priest, nobody knows you. You never have a chance to let anybody know who you are. So they come at you from the outside. And when I got angry about some little thing, out would come this barrage that was totally, totally misplaced. I was getting even with somebody else from another movie, you know, that kind of thing. Anger is a good thing. What we do with it, don't stuff it. Confront it. Ask yourself, what is it that is making me angry? Where is that anger coming from? And don't be satisfied with a simple thing like, she just said such and such, or he just did so and so, or that teacher kind of thing. You know, I just kind of live with that every day. Don't be satisfied with that. Go down a little bit deeper and keep asking yourself, where is it coming from? Because more than likely, the anger I have today somehow is an extension of or a reflection of the anger I've been carrying, probably for some other reason. Not to do psychoanalysis, but you know yourself, every one of us, if you've ever paid attention to your feelings, that they always, always, always find a lot more strength from someplace you never realized you had. When you get pushed to the edge, have you ever lost it completely and gone bonkers? But where's that coming from? What could make you in this moment go bonkers and lose your control over yourself and be totally blinded with rage? That's coming from someplace. So, in short, we all have lots of feelings, but I think anger is probably the most common among us. And isn't that a sad commentary? In the world in which we live today, it's hard to go 10 minutes without feeling some kind of anger if you're aware of what's going on in the world around us. But not just that, in the challenges we face every day, every one of us faces something. Sometimes it's heavy, sometimes it's not so heavy, but it's an annoyance. And it brings up some kind of reaction. Pay attention to it, ask what it's about, and face it. And then try to deal with the situation that brings it up. And maybe you can't shoot the teacher, you know. And you can't wipe out the neighborhood, or you can't change the politics. You can't do any of those things, but you can continue to find a way to make it work for you and not against you. If I know where it's coming from, I can own it and I can take charge of it to the best of my ability. And you do that for a while and you get a little bit better about handling it when it does happen. Anger is a part of breathing. It is not a capital sin. Never should have been a capital sin. Because it condemns a part of every one of us that is healthy and normal and really very human. Okay? It's just a thought.